Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. Today we are talking about starting and sticking with an exercise program with Norman Russo, the owner of Fitness Together in Cambridge in the North End in Massachusetts. Before opening a Fitness Together 5 years ago, Norm was a research scientist at Millennium Pharmaceuticals. He found that many of his colleagues complained about injuries sustained during their weekend warrior pursuits and decided to put his knowledge of strength training and conditioning to use, helping them and others lead healthier, happier lives. Besides working with a wide variety of clients in one-on-one private training at his Fitness Together studios, Norman is also a highly sought-after fitness training and nutrition coach, having worked with the Cambridge Public Health Department, Cambridge Police Department, Cambridge Health Alliance, Massachusetts General Hospital, Boston Medical Center, and as an instructor of exercise and nutrition at the Boston Center for Adult Education. Norman is also a certified senior levels instructor of Renegade Training, the revolutionary and state-of-the-art fitness and athletic performance training system developed by John Davies that has been used by elite athletes and sport teams around the world. Norman, welcome to It's Your Health.
Thanks, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have you here this morning. Now, Norm, tell us, when did you first get interested in physical fitness?
It was a long time ago. I was in junior high school, and my brother had just gotten a motorcycle, and he invited me out for a ride one summer night, and we were going a little too fast, had an accident, I broke my leg, and I had to spend the rest of the summer in a cast, and in the fall, I wanted to play football, like a lot of other boys in my school, and my daughter said, nope, you're not ready, and my mom suggested, why don't you join a gym, and I was a chubby, overweight kid with not a lot of self-esteem at that time, and I found that going to the gym, I started to get a little better shape, and I actually I turned to a gym junkie, I guess you could say. I got hooked at that point. That's what got it all started.
Oh, that's great. So when you went to school, then you decided, did you study exercise? Or it said that you had worked, I mentioned in the introduction that you worked in pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, at the time, I didn't really have any concept of personal training as a career, personal fitness training. So I had been I was interested in science, and that had always been one of a passion of mine in high school. And so I studied, I got my undergraduate degree in microbiology, and I started in academic research doing cancer research down at the University of Maryland in Baltimore. And then after that, I got a master's degree from Worcester Polytech in Worcester, Mass., and then I started working in the biotech industry.
Oh, interesting. And you did that for a while, and like I mentioned, that you had seen your friends, the weekend warriors, which is basically what people who just, they don't work out all week, and then they kind of go crazy on the weekends. Is that correct?
Yeah. They wanted to have a cake and eat it, too. I guess they wanted to be able to do whatever they felt like, play softball, go mountain biking, go rock climbing, but they're all they found that all that hours spent hunched over in a lab chair wasn't doing much for their muscle tone or their strength, and then they go out and play hard, but they'd be hurting hard on Monday morning.
Oh, okay, so then you ended up getting into personal training.
Yeah, I think that a lot of my colleagues, they recognize that I knew a lot about exercise, and they come to ask me questions all the time. And I thought, well, I guess for myself, I thought I'd kind of like to see if this might be another avocation for me. And mm-hmm. I talked to different gym owners and personal trainers that I knew. They recommend that I get a certification. I did so, and I guess that's what kind of got my personal training career off to a start.
Oh, that's great. Now, today we're going to be talking about starting and sticking with an exercise program. So what are some things that one should consider before starting an exercise program?
Well, I think the first question I think that I would ask if I was someone just starting out is why you want to exercise? Are you exercising to improve the quality of your life, or do you have some other motive? And I think that when I go to a lot of commercial gyms, I see people who are they're toiling away, and they're maybe they're doing spending endless hours on a treadmill or elliptical machine, sweating away, But you really have to question, okay, is that really improving the quality of your life? What's their goal? I think that's the first question that my clients ask when they come in, and the first question I ask them, what do you want to get out of exercise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, goals are so important. And setting goals is really important, especially to have them to be realistic. So, you know, see, someone comes in and says, I want to lose 20 pounds and, you know, my high school union's in 3 weeks. It's like, okay, well, let's slow down there. How do you get folks to make more realistic goals?
Well, I think that the first step is to get to know that person. When I approach a client, we try to take the time to get to know where they're coming from, what's been their history with exercise, what's been their own history in regards to their health and their fitness. And we try to find out, okay, you want to lose 20 pounds? Great. Well, why is that? Is it because you want to do it yourself, or are you trying to please somebody else? You know, so I have people come in all the time. They point to a magazine cover and say, I want to look like this action hero. Well, okay, that's great. I'm not a plastic surgeon, but
yeah.
but at the same time, okay, why do you want to look that way? What's wrong with the body you have right now? Once you kind of delve into the real reason, then you have a good sense of, okay, setting some realistic goals for that person becomes a lot easier.
Okay, now what about seeing a doctor first? I think, isn't there a certain, if you're over a certain age or if you haven't exercised in a certain number of years, is it prudent to see a doctor first?
Well, certainly. I think that many of our clients come in, they do have health issues. And certainly if they have a nagging injury, or if they have some kind of a chronic health issue, absolutely. They should have seen a doctor and recognize that their personal trainer is not a physician themselves. They should get real qualified professional help. I think once a doctor approves them to start an exercise program, then getting started the right way would be the next step. And that's kind of where I come in and where Fitness Together comes in.
Oh, that's good. Now, what types of activities? Obviously, it depends on the person and their fitness level, but do you generally start with maybe walking or stretching? What do you do?
Well, I suppose that truthfully, a lot of folks that come to us, I would say, are often, I would almost call them dysfunctional in a sense. And what I mean is that they're unable to perform even some basic movements.
Okay.
Properly. Let's take, for example, when somebody tries to do a squat. A squat is a basic human movement. Babies do it. Great. But yet adults have spent so much time sitting behind a desk or sitting in a chair that they almost forget how to move properly. And I think that what we do with a lot of our clients is just to assess, okay, what kind of movements can they do competently, and what other movements maybe they don't do very well. And that gives us a good idea of the kind of weaknesses they have. And mm-hmm. then we can start addressing those weaknesses in a progressive manner so that we can actually restore some kind of functionality so that they don't hurt themselves when they start exercising.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you do a squat wrong, you know, if you have your knees going over your toes, you know, it's going to end up hurting
right.
your knees. You want to, I always tell people, you're sitting, you know, there's like a little invisible chair behind you, and because you really have to bring the, you know, your tush,
exactly.
you know, the tush down. So
At the same time, I have people come to me and say, well, I can't do a squat. And I'll say, well, okay, now did you get out of a chair today? Well, yes. Did you get out of your car when you enter the door? Yes, I did. Well, you actually did a squat. I think that maybe they have this perception that a squat is putting hundreds of pounds across the back of your shoulders across an Olympic bar and trying to do squats like a professional athlete. And we have to tell people, no, wait. Maybe we'll get you to that point someday, but right now we need to ensure that you can actually move normally and with proper posture and not be at risk of hurting yourself.
So once you know that they can do the things that you just had mentioned, like a squat and moving correctly, do you start with, do you do aerobic activity first, whether it be a treadmill or an aerobic class or spinning or something, and then do you do strength training, or do you sort of add it all at once?
Well, I think, so what we do is with the clients, we usually do a combination of strength training. We do cardiovascular training as well, and we also work in a nutrition plan so that everything comes together so that they reach their goals as quickly as possible. And all three have their place, and all three are very important. Typically, I think when we have some of our clients, they may warm up on one of our cardio machines, a treadmill or elliptical machine. When they get into a strength training session, we usually do some exercises to help them warm up and loosen up their joints. We may have them do some simple calisthenics, which do a great job of getting their blood flowing and getting their muscles warmed up. We may do range of motion drills where the people are basically they're kind of walking back and forth, but they're pulling their knees up towards their chest to really kind of promote this active flexibility that they're going to need when they do their strength training session.
Okay, so that's good. So it sounds like you get to, you know, you have to obviously work with each individual person. Everybody's different.
Right.
Now, I know that there's, you know, there's certain things that they recommend you do, like you do the warm-up and the cool-down and, you know, do the exercise in between and make sure to stretch. Do you emphasize those different parts as well?
Well, we do. Typically, a session will start with a warm-up where we get the person used to moving around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, a lot of times, what we see is that people have been so sedentary during their day; they've been sitting behind a desk underneath fluorescent lights that they're very tight. Their hamstrings are very tight. Their shoulders may be hunched forward. So, we almost try to get that person to learn how to stand up straight and learn to move through space so that they can move effectively and be able to do exercises safely with proper posture. So a warm-up may consist of, say, maybe we'll do something dynamic, like, say, throw a medicine ball around, or maybe we'll have them do some basic types of lunges or squats just to get their major muscle groups working. Then the bulk of the workout is a strength training workout where they're doing using things like weights, kettlebells, medicine balls, elastic bands, may even incorporate yoga and Pilates into their workout as well. And then we always end the workout with a cool down and a stretch. And that's usually the favorite part of most people's workout. we help the client stretch out and so that they're loose and relaxed by the time they finish the session.
Now, when someone first starts, how long should the sessions be?
I think that it depends upon the client. I think that typically a training session may last 45 minutes, and it's really the pacing that determines the tempo of someone's workout. If someone is coming in very deconditioned, then we may have to give them longer rest periods so that they can recover from a set where they're doing an exercise. As our clients get more fit, we can pick up the pace of the exercises where they don't require so much rest, and we can up the tempo so that it resembles more like what an athlete would be doing.
Okay. Now, is there a point where after they learn everything that they end up, then they do it on their own in the gym? Or, you know, and also this is for people who are working out at home too. Like they might work with the trainer for a while and then, you know, take it on their own. Does that happen in your gym where eventually they'll just do their own thing?
I say that every people who have all of those goals. We have some folks come in where they're finding some difficulty with starting a program on their own, and they have the intention that, well, I'd like to see some results, and that'll give me the motivation to continue on my own. And we certainly work with many people like that. What we do is we get them started on a program, and we show them how to exercise at the safely, but also at the proper intensity, so that they see the results that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
When they're ready to, say, graduate, so to speak, then we may provide them with a program, and they may go off on their own to train in a regular gym. They may often come back from time to time too, so that we can update their program so that they're not doing the same workout over and over, which is a mistake that a lot of people kind of fall into. We have some folks that do a combination of training with us and maybe training at a gym, or they train at home.
Okay.
And again, we show them how to exercise properly, and we provide them with a program that they can follow. And they find that coming back each week gives them a measure of accountability
yeah.
That would allow them to stick to it.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you mentioned that because I wanted to get to that about, you know, the sticking to the exercise. You know, I had read that only 1/3 of those who begin an exercise program that are still exercising by the end of the first year. And, you know, I was hoping that you can tell us some ways that we, you know, people won't end up in that 1/3.
Yeah, you know, I get industry trade magazines about the gym industry, and even by the industry's own statistics, about the average person who goes to a gym, average gym goer goes maybe 2 or 3 times a month.
Wow.
And that's, you know, most people would agree that's not really enough exercise to really make a difference.
No, it's not.
I think that for most people, having a coach, just like you would hire, say, a financial planner to help you plan your retirement savings, just like you would see a doctor to kind of manage your health, having a personal trainer can be an asset in order to help you maintain a healthy program. Your trainer can give you new ideas as to how to make exercise fun and challenging, so that, again, you're more likely to want to stick to it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that, you know, you have to do activities that you enjoy. Because
right.
If you don't, then, you know, obviously you're not going to stick with it.
Right. And that's a big part of how we like to work with clients. When folks walk into an FT, we of course, we take a very personalized approach. We kind of, you know, say hello to the person so they feel like they're walking into, like, someone's living room or, you know, the neighborhood bar where everyone knows your name.
That's not exactly Norm. I was thinking that when you said that.
That's right. We like to play the music that they like. We have a beverage and a towel waiting for them. Their program's all set. Their trainer is ready and waiting to get them started. And also, I like to hear that someone's laughing and they're actually having fun with their exercising. If I hear a quiet training room where there's no noise going on, I get a little nervous. I'm like, hey guys, the energy is starting to die down in here. Let's jazz things up a little bit. So we do. It is important that we make the exercises fun, as well as challenging, because I think ultimately that's the key to really having someone enjoy their program, and that's what's going to make them want to stick to it.
Yeah, definitely. I also think another thing that is really nice is if you can find someone to work out with. You know, for people who maybe don't have the financial ability to join a gym, or you know, if they just want to find someone to walk with, you know, instead of going out to coffee with a friend, just call up a friend and go for a walk a few times a week or something like that. Do you have suggestions, you know, like that for people who maybe can't join the gym but still need to start and stick with an exercise program?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the city of Cambridge has actually had a lot of initiatives started by the Cambridge Health Alliance and the Department of Public Health to get people to work out together. They had a program that I was involved with was called Fitness Buddies. And it's kind of a model that I think could be used by other towns, where they paired up people. People could sign up for the program. They paired you up with a buddy, someone who lived in town, someone who might live down the street that maybe you didn't even know. And the whole point was to get together and do some kind of exercise. It could have been as simple as walking to Harvard Square, getting a cup of coffee, and enjoying fellowship with your workout partner, and then walking back home, as well as doing other forms of exercise. We see a lot of clients who they come in, they're new to town, and they come in and tell me, you know, I used to have a workout partner at my old gym, and now I'm new here, I don't know anybody, so I need somebody to work out with. Absolutely, having a workout partner that and who can go to the gym or work out with you at the same time. Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Another thing I always recommend, and this is, you know, I'm a dog lover. I love dogs. So I always tell people, you know, get a dog if you can, you know, if your apartment or house or allows, because you have to walk the dog.
Yeah.
You have to. I mean, I have 2. They're almost 10. And honest to goodness, they still act like puppies. People can't believe it. And I try to walk them twice a day if I can. I try to give them an off-leash walk. And it makes a huge difference because, I mean, whether it's snowing or hot as heck, I got to get out there and walk those dogs.
I think that there have actually been studies that have been done that show that pet owners live longer than people who simply live alone.
Yeah, and there's other, of course, the emotional attachment, and there's other benefits as well. Now, we met at the Health Expo in Boston several months ago, and I believe you were doing something there with children. Am I remembering correctly?
That's right.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've been doing a collaboration and a promotion with the pediatrics department at Mass General Hospital. And Mass General Hospital is they're committed to providing the best in healthcare for children. And to help promote their program, they came up with something called Kids Zone. And it's the equivalent of the ice cream truck, but instead of handing out ice cream cones and popsicles, we do exercises. We hand out things like jump ropes and water bottles.
That's awesome.
The Health Expo was an example where MGH, they actually literally took an old ice cream truck and they put all these nice graphics on it. And they were handing out jump ropes and water bottles at the event. And at the same time, myself and one of my trainers, we were showing people how to do simple exercises, where we took kids through an agility ladder. They can practice some fancy footwork. And then once they completed the exercise, of course, they can pick up a jump rope and a water bottle. But just to show people that they can just get started with some simple exercises and get moving.
Okay. You know, I thought that was good. Now, how do you have time for all this stuff? Because I mentioned in the introduction that you're doing a bunch of different things. You mentioned Mass General Hospital. And also the Cambridge Police Department and the Cambridge Health Alliance. What other kind? I mean, how do you have time, number one? And what things are you doing with those folks?
It's definitely been busy lately, I have to say. But it's been a lot of fun, too. I have got a great staff of outstanding trainers that work with me. And they help train my clients. And I train clients as well. But I've just been looking at be able to spend more time and get outside the studio and just get out into the community. And that's been really rewarding. And it's helped me to see what fitness is like for people outside of our studio. People come into our studio. It's almost like a nice cocoon because they have everything's all set up and organized for them.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, I realize that there's a lot of people who are grappling with trying to get started with the program. They may have struggled with weight loss. They're struggling with finding an exercise program that can work for them. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the health and fitness industry, unfortunately, has very little to do with health or fitness in a lot of respects. And I guess I kind of take it upon the roles as an ambassador to show people how to, enjoy exercise as much as I like to enjoy it. And I like to show them what's possible when they have a well-thought-out program.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, we only have a few minutes left, Norman. I wanted to make sure to ask, what is this Renegade Training? I mentioned that also in the introduction. It sounded really interesting.
Sure. Renegade Training is a sort of like a philosophy, almost like an exercise lifestyle that I have learned from one of my great mentors, a gentleman by the name of John Davies, who has been sort of like a behind-the-scenes coach for a lot of the world's best athletes. And John has worked with a lot of professional, like NFL teams, like the Green Bay Packers. Everyone remembers when Northwestern University won I think they won the Big Ten mm-hmm. one year in football. And before that, they had been perennial doormats, a great institution, but they didn't play football very well. They had a hard time competing. Well, John helped design a training program that enabled them to, despite the fact that they didn't have all the best talent, they developed the physical conditioning to win that year. And when I learned about John, I learned that his approach is to, for example, train movements, not musculature. And what that means is that rather than training the body like a collection of parts, and many people go to the gym, they say, well, I'm going to do biceps and shoulders today. And tomorrow I'm going to do my legs and my chest. And then maybe I'll do my back and my triceps on another day. What I found is that when I applied his techniques to my clients, the first of all, they loved it. And people started seeing results much faster than they did before when I was using conventional techniques. And so as I kind of studied John's techniques and I got to know him and a lot of the trainers that he works with, I started to apply his techniques with my clients. And ever since then, I guess you could say that I've really found that his approach has really made a big difference. It's made a big difference to myself and my own health, and it's also made a big difference to my clients. You can learn more by going to renegadetraining.com to learn more about his programs. If you're a personal trainer, you can attend his seminars and learn about his approach. He's published a lot of books that you can order from his website. And I would say that he's just been a great resource. And so I guess you could say that he got the moniker Renegade because a lot of his approaches were considered controversial, but they work. And it's not that they're dangerous. They actually make a lot of sense when you study his techniques. But I found that when I apply them with my own clients, we got great results. And the clients love their exercises. And really, that's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make exercise fun and effective for the folks that come to see me.
No, it sounds great. I'm going to have to get down to Cambridge and try that. I could use it. Now, how can people contact you?
Well, they can go to, if they want to log on to the web, they can go to www.ftcambridgema.com. And they can find our website. They can also give me a phone call at 617-547-4244. Or they can call my North End studio. That's 617-778-2426. My email address is normanrousseau@fitnesstogether.com. You can also find that on the website. And if anybody has any questions, by all means, I'd be happy to talk to them.
Yeah, well, you've been great, Norm. I really appreciate you coming on today. And if people want to get in touch with me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. Now, this coming Thursday, August 27th, we will be joined by Devin Alexander. She's the author of The Most Decadent Diet Ever, Fast Food Fix, The Biggest Loser Cookbook, and The Biggest Loser Family Cookbook, which I believe both The Biggest Loser Cookbooks were on the New York Times bestseller list. So be sure to tune in. You all know how much I love The Biggest Loser, and Devin is wonderful. So have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.